Translation. Srila Advaitacharya Prabhu thought, if Krishna himself appears to distribute the cult of devotional service, then only will liberation be possible for all the people. And verse number 70. With this consideration, Advaita Prabhu, promising to cause Lord Krishna to descend, began to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna with tulasi leaves and waters from the Ganga. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Tulasi leaves and Ganga water with, if possible, a little pulp of sandalwood is sufficient paraphernalia to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushvam phalam toyam yomi bhakta parachyati tadaham bhakt uparitam asnami prayatat manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit of water, I will accept it. Following this principle, Advaita Prabhu pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead with tulasi leaves and with the water of the Ganga. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Hum Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganat Raganatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vineshwari Rikshabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Arebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanakamba Takso Sankirtanai Papitaro Kamalaya Takso Vishwambaro Dwijabaro Yuga Dharma Follow Vande Jagat Priyakaro Kuruna Avataro Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sanodido Gorodaya Pushpanvanto Chitta Samo Tamo Nudo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I was requested by Shruti Dharma Prabhu to speak on the appearance or the occasion of today, well, honoring the Lord's appearance into this world. And of course, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are six reasons for the Lord's appearance. And it's described that three of them are to benefit the world, and the other three are for his own transcendental pleasure. And combined with these six reasons, the Lord decided to make his appearance. As we read the Shastras, we see, or we hear, we talk about certain reasons for his appearance, and the emphasis is always on that this is the reason the Lord appeared. To yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srijamiyaham pravitranayam sadunam vinasanaya chaduskritam dharma samstar panartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. And Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter. When dharma decreases and reaches the point of irreligion, and then Shruti Dharma mentions that wonderful story of Akbar and Birbal, the Lord appears. He does. He actually comes. Prabhupada would say, if he's God, he can do anything he wants. And if he wants to come here, he can come. No one tell him, well, you're God, you should not come here. Yeah. If he's God, he can do what he wants. And if he wants to come here, what can we say? So he does come to this material world, and the reason was given. In order to keep intact religious principles, which is a principle of raksa, or protection of the living entities in this world, to uphold dharma. So he comes. Now, Sri Advaitacharya here is contemplating. The Lord sent his devotees, Sri Advaitacharya, his maternal uncle, Acharya Ratna, also known as Chandrasekhar, Srivas Thakur, Srila Haridas Thakur, Mukunda, and of course Advaitacharya. We're all there prior to the descent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now the picture, you have to see the picture. This is Navadvip Dham. And Navadvip Dham, as explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the bastion. He uses that word, center, the essence of knowledge. It was a place where people from all over the world would get various types of teachings, knowledge. Had the best teachers and the best universities. But, and of course, the devotees at that time were very few, very few. And most of the people were interested in karmakanda, jnanakanda, demigod worship, or we might even say simply family moral principles in order to increase material happiness. In fact, there was hardly any trace of teachings and practice of pure bhakti. And so we understand that Sri Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's mentioned that he is Mahavishnu and the original Shiva combined into one Sadashiva. So in his element or his essence of Shiva, he's very compassionate. Shiva is also called the father of all living entities. He's the original Shiva, or a combination of the source of Shiva, which is Mahavishnu himself, and the original Shiva in one person. In other words, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's seeing and experiencing unhappiness because of the living entity's attachment to all activities except devotional service. At one point, Advaitacharya becomes so, what we say, unhappy, seeing the futility of the lives of the people, what they were doing, and say they would create deities of the various types of demigods and perform puja to these deities in order to get material benefits. And when the pujas were done, they throw the deity in the Ganga. No need for the deity anymore. We got the benediction. It describes that even it got so ridiculous that people were using whatever monies they had to have marriages for cats and dogs. Because we know, you know, in Vedic culture and Indian culture, marriage is a big thing. So, of course, it's meant for human beings. But people became so frustrated because material life ultimately turns into frustration, or ultimately even sometimes violence when one simply lives in order to fulfill material desires. And so this continued. So much so that it actually gravitated down to this lowest type of, what we say, activity, having marriage and spending money It wasn't just like a little thing. They would spend money to have cats and dogs get married. So Advaitacharya, he's the Supreme Lord. He wants the living entities to come back to Krishna, engage in devotional service. And the people were not interested in devotional service. He was respected as one of the greatest scholars of the Vedas. He was considered one of the leading Brahmins at the time, but at the same time, he was only given what we say token respect for his knowledge. But no one, not too many, a few, would follow his teachings. And so it explains in one part that he actually became angry. Angry out of compassion. The element of compassion was his motivation. But seeing there was no other alternative, he decided, I should just kill them all. It would be better if they don't live. This, I was just reading one verse this last night. It was also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one doesn't take the devotional service, and pure devotional service, one's life is a waste, and it's better that that person never was ever born. In other words, the human form of life is meant to achieve or to aspire for love of Krishna. That is the purpose of human life. And so, Advaitacharya, feeling this intense anger, decided, I should do something. But he thought, this would not solve the problem. So let me call the Supreme Personality. It is a work for him. So in this verse, here he's thinking, I should call the Lord. So how he actually started to call the Lord is really quite interesting. He went down to the banks of the Ganga and created a little altar with shalagrams and started to worship the Lord with tulsi leaves and sandalwood pulp and calling loudly for the Lord to come in his prayers. And he was offering, this is interesting also, because this is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat also, or maybe it's in Chaitanya Mangala. He was also offering flowers. And as the flowers were being offered, they were also being washed downstream. And Sachi Mata would come every day to take her bath in one of the ghats that was connected to the Ganga. And these flowers, after being offered to Shalagram by the Advaitacharya, would float down the stream, and they would come, and they would touch the body of Sachi Mata. Now, Sachi Mata was pregnant, and every time that flower touched, right after that, she would have a miscarriage. Aribo, wonderful worship. So what was happening is that it is explained that Sachi Mata had 8 girls and everyone died right after childbirth. It's explained in this same chapter, Jagannath Mishra, the father of those girls and the husband of Sachi Mata, was beyond himself with sorrow, seeing his children die immediately. You can imagine. But this was the orchestration of the Lord in order to facilitate the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So after seeing his children die right up for no apparent reason, there was no disease or anything, they just died. A boy was born. An incarnation or a manifestation of the Sankarsana known as Vishwarup. He was a plenary expansion of Lord Balaram himself as Sri Sankarsana. The family was so happy. A beautiful boy. And he was so beautiful. So they showered all their affection, all their attention, and all their love upon this person. Meantime, Advaita is still offering his prayers, calling for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at one point, it's mentioned, the Lord thought, I think it's time for me to come. So he decided to come. Now, it's interesting. We mentioned earlier that there are six reasons why the Lord came. And one of them was to satisfy the calling of Sri Advaitacharya. The other one was to establish the Yuga Dharma. And the third was to establish the Yuga Dharma in a specific way. And that was the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, of course, as devotees, we always think, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish the Yuga Dharma. Nam Sankirtan, Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna avatar, but Krishna is in the form of Mahaprabhu. So he's come to establish the Yuga Dharma, or the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So at one point, the Lord, pleased with the prayers, but it mentions, it's interesting how the Lord just does things. We're talking about the appearance of the Lord in this world. No one can understand his appearance. No one can understand his appearance. It says that just prior to his appearance, Jagannath Mishra was having these amazing dreams. And he was seeing these effulgent personalities singing the glories of the Lord. And in one of the dreams, a beautiful image of the entire spiritual world descended into his dream. And he saw this beautiful image, and it entered right into his own mind within the dream. And then he saw this same image being transferred into the mind of his wife, Sachimata. So the Lord was actually preparing, or at least bringing about his own glorious appearance by giving great happiness to his mother and father. And of course, as this continued on, so many auspicious omens started to become visible within the environment. Now the Lord wanted to do something, and he did something by, in his appearance, he did it in a most, what we say, unusual way. He not only appeared, but he created something apparently inauspicious in order to bring about his appearance. And what was that inauspicious thing? He arranged for the planet Rahu to go in front of the moon, a lunar eclipse. It's considered to be very, very inauspicious, a lunar eclipse. I remember we were just in Mayapur about 2 weeks ago, and they said, there's a lunar eclipse, no one should go out of the house, and no one should eat at this time. So we didn't eat. It was breakfast time, too. So it was an austerity. I remember many years ago we had the same thing, and went on for 4 or 5 hours. No one cooked, no one ate. It says that if you cook or ate at that time, inauspicious things would enter into the food and you would become polluted and contaminated. So this lunar eclipse was arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the people in the culture, you would think, oh, what can we do to counteract this inauspiciousness? Let's chant the holy names of the Lord. So in a very enthusiastic way, people would go to the banks of the Ganga, and this was in the evening time, and they would take bath and chant the holy names of the Lord just to bring about an auspicious atmosphere in the presence of this lunar eclipse. And it says that practically the whole city of Navadvip went, even the atheists and the Muslims. The Muslims would mimic in a very, when we say, humorous way, the devotees and everyone else chanting Hare Krishna. But after they started to mimic them, they actually started to chant also. This is the power of Lord Chaitanya, that by their chanting, they actually become, what we say, inspired to chant. And then, of course, at that same time, Advaitacharya felt this amazing happiness enter into his mind. He was with Srila Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was feeling this surge of auspiciousness and great happiness. And they started to dance and dance and dance. And everyone was thinking, why are they so happy? What is happening? And finally, after dancing for some time, they also went down to take their bath in the Ganga during these eclipses. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for his appearance in such a wonderful way that the entire area of Navadvip was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, of course, now Lord Chaitanya, he was not like an ordinary baby. And the year 1406, Sakabda, January, there was this apparent pregnancy by Sachimata, and she felt within her womb a child was there. But for 13 months, the Lord didn't come out. And it was like after a year, everyone was thinking, this is unusual. Sachimata looks very effulgent. And obviously there's a very auspicious child within the womb. But he's not coming out. So what to do? So they went to the astrologer, one astrologer. I think it was the maternal grandmother, maternal of Lord Chaitanya, grandfather of Lord Chaitanya, Nilambara Chakravarti. And he said, don't worry, he's coming out this month. And it'll be a grand occasion when he appears. So the Lord appeared in February, March time of the calendar, and the Lord made his appearance. And how when he appeared, everything was auspicious. All the planets aligned themselves. Everything became wonderful. The seasons were all in time. All six seasons blessed the appearance of the Lord. And everyone was feeling happy, even those who were atheists, who had no understanding of what was actually happening. Even though they felt joyful simply by the appearance. We heard from Shruti Dharma Prabhu. And we also know that Lord Chaitanya, what is his mercy? Prabhupada speaks about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and he describes it in different ways. And of course, he explained it in his teachings, but he challenged us. He said, Lord Chaitanya is so kind and so merciful. Now, if you want to really measure his mercy, now, you may have a big brain, very intelligent, many literary carriers. You're educated in so many different subjects. You can speak and convince others. Okay? So many intellectual qualifications. Apply that knowledge to try to understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, you'll not understand. You will not understand. Of course, the feature of Jagai and Madai, we hear how Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda saved these two, what we say, most sinful and least qualified persons for anything, not even material life, from going down to hell, and actually brought them to the stage of, pure devotees of the Lord. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says something really amazing. He says that this mercy shown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagai and Madai, and he speaks in an interesting way. He says it's not simply a historical feature. It's not something that we talk about in history. It's not just a pastime of the Lord. What is it? It is a feature of the Lord's mercy that's going on today. He's still saving the jug eyes and mud eyes. I mean, I can attest to that from a personal point. So, what is our qualification? Mercy. And the supreme manifestation of mercy is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would simply be pleased simply by seeing someone chant the holy names of the Lord. After he took sannyas, he was traveling through one area called Radha Desh. And as he was traveling, he was practically by himself. His devotees were following him from a distance. And he was not seeing anyone chant. And the Lord was becoming very, very happy. What is this place? Is condemned. Everyone I meet, no one is chanting Hare Krishna. Finally, after going through for some time, he sees these two little cowherd boys. And they're singing Hare Krishna. Just because they're herding cows and they just happen to be singing the holy name. Lord Chaitanya ran over to them and said, "You boys are so wonderful. Actually, you are like my spiritual master. Thank you for chanting the holy names of the Lord. You are so..." And the boys are thinking, "What is he saying? We're just, you know, herding our cows and having some good fun by singing." But the Lord was pouring out his happiness, explaining that, just see, they're chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada says, if you want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, do two things. Or actually, do one thing and don't do another thing. Should I tell you? Of course, you all know what to do, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he says, don't find fault with others. Adosha Darshi, one who does not see the faults of others, he says, I give that person my full mercy. If they chant the holy names and never find fault with others. I mean, that's a tall order. But that's Mahaprabhu's mercy. And of course, I'll just expound on that a little bit. Even if you see a fault, it's not so important. It's really not important. And just let it go. It's not important. When the mind dwells on these things, when one cannot really take shelter feelingly in the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, out of all my teachings, here's the best one. Trinada pisa niche na tayur iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya. This is a principle of practice. It's the ornament of a Vaishnava, and it attracts the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to give the Yuga Dharma, but he also taught us how to approach Krishna's name, and this is the formula. With feelings and feeling completely unqualified. What is our qualification? To feel unqualified, then we can become qualified. Right? The idea is, I have no qualifications. What is my qualification? Your mercy. And that's what Lord Chaitanya taught. The mercy of the Lord is actually the devotee's success in life. And the more one feels unqualified, the more one receives that mercy. So, of course, sometimes people think, well, feeling unqualified means I can't do anything. No, you got to do things too. In fact, Prabhupada said, do something big. Not just do something to make a difference. But at the same time, never think that it's simply by your endeavor that all these things are happening. So this is Lord Chaitanya. So his appearance is very, very instructive because when he appeared, he inspired us to chant the holy names of the Lord. Now, it's mentioned that he appeared for three other reasons. And these are the three reasons are called his own personal concerns or desires. In the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur, a beautiful narration of how these three internal reasons more or less manifested in the heart of the Supreme Lord. When Krishna was in Dwarka, he was with his principal queen, Rukmini. And Rukmini was massaging Krishna's feet. And she was so pleased. And she was crying while she was crying out of tears of joy. And in her expression of her love, while she was massaging his feet, she was saying, "My dear Lord, your lotus feet are so wonderful, so wonderful." And then she went on to say, "No one knows how wonderful your lotus feet are. Actually, you don't even know how wonderful you are." Krishna was thinking, yeah, I don't know how wonderful I am. There's one pastime where Lord Krishna, he's walking, and he passes this big, huge, reflective pillar. And as he passes, he sees an image in the pillar. When he stops, he says, "Who's that? That person is really beautiful and attractive." And then he realizes, "Oh, it's me." So Krishna even gets attracted to himself. He doesn't really know how beautiful he is. So in his mood is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rukmini goes on, and she says that actually there is one person who actually knows how wonderful you are. There's only one, and that is Srimati Radharani. So the Lord thought, I want to understand what is it about Radharani that makes her love the best, and what is it that she feels about me that's so wonderful, and what is that happiness that she gets from her love from me. So Vrindavan Das Thakur and also Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this was the internal reasons why the Lord appeared, to taste Radharani's love. What is the nature of that love? The topmost experience of loving relationship to the Supreme. What is the nature of it? What is that happiness that she derives from that love? In other words, the object becomes the subject. And now she, and the last one, what is about him that is so wonderful? So in that incarnation, and the acharyas make this statement, this is not to minimize Lord Chaitanya's compassion upon the fallen souls and the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, but it says that this is the actual reason why the Lord appeared. He appeared to taste his own transcendental happiness in the role of his devotee. That's why it's very difficult to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very difficult. That's why very few people, even people who practice devotional service, don't recognize the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what is his mission. Many people say he was just a great personality who became a devotee of Krishna. Or maybe he was a demigod. But they never give him that position of being a supreme personality of God. Because he was always in the role of a devotee. He was always in the role of a devotee. He wanted to show what is pure devotional service and how to attain the goal of pure devotional service, love of God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing kirtan with his internal associates in the spiritual world, and Krishna dancing rasa dance with his devotees in Sri Vrindavan Dham is non-different. It's non-different. And one who sees these two pastimes as different does not see correctly or doesn't understand.